Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
There is one body and one spirit.
There is one hope in God's call to us.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
One God and Father of all.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given to us, your servants, grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of your divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith and worship, and bring us at last to see you in your one and eternal glory, O Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit live and reign one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading.
A reading from the book of Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together, God called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and God rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that God had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
A reading from the second letter to the Corinthians. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. When I was in middle school, or junior high, I think we called it then, I briefly took part in a confirmation class at my local Roman Catholic parish. I say briefly because, although I'm not sure how many sessions I attended, I do know that I did not go on to be confirmed with the rest of my class. I vaguely remember being told that confirmation is an affirmation of faith, a time when we can choose to make a mature commitment to the promises made on our behalf at baptism. And I definitely remember telling my mother that I was not going to be confirmed. In trying to explain my decision to her, I said, probably with some disdain, that I had not learned anything in our confirmation class. There was a kernel of truth in that, although there was also a fair amount of childish bravado and stubbornness. If memory serves, it's true that my classes for confirmation didn't include any church history or theology, or even much of an opportunity for soul searching. And I remember saying, probably with an eye roll, that everything they taught us boiled down to the same thing. God is love. Well, duh. That didn't seem like the basis for a mature affirmation of faith to me. It probably came as no surprise to people who knew me back then that I went on to study theology at Harvard, a school known for intellectual rigor, but not necessarily for helping people live out their faith in the real world. What might surprise some of those people from back then is that I have reached a point where I can think of no more profound theological claim than that simple sentence, God is love. And that these days I am much more interested in humble spiritual practices like walking and gardening than in the intricacies of theological debate or abstract philosophizing. Recently, I had the delightful experience of discussing the Trinity with Derek Weston, Director of Theological Education for an organization called Creation Justice Ministries. We were talking about why the lectionary readings for Trinity Sunday have such a focus on creation, which we see both in that grand opening reading from Genesis and in the inclusion of Psalm 8. And he said, in more or less these words, well, what is God? What is the Trinity, if not an ecosystem? This was, as they say, a mic drop moment for me. The thing that helped me draw together some of these different strands of my thinking and experience. Now, before I go any further with this metaphor, I have to say that I know full well that there are a lot of scientists in this room who understand ecosystems much better than I. So please go easy on me. I'll start by defining my terms. Encyclopedia Britannica includes a fairly standard definition of an ecosystem as a complex of living organisms, their physical environment, and all their interrelationships. Other definitions focus on the inherently dynamic nature of an ecosystem, as well as the characteristic interdependence of all its component parts linked by nutrient cycles and energy exchange. So understanding that we're talking about a metaphor, not a perfect analogy, let's see how this fits. The Trinity, like an ecosystem, is a complex of dynamic, interdependent relationships, creating the conditions for life and growth. I like it. And the energy exchange that fuels it? Well, what else could that be but love? To move a bit past the level of abstraction here, it might be helpful to look more closely at Psalm 8, which is all about relationships and interdependence and our role in the ecosystem of love that is God. While it's easy to read this psalm as expressing a hierarchical view of creation, a kind of great chain of being approach, I don't think this is fair or adequate, as I'll parse moving forward. So the first and last verses of the psalm are a repeated refrain, proclaiming God as sovereign, ruler, or in our translation, governor, whose name is exalted in all the world. Notice that all. This is not just about people, but about the whole world, whatever that might have meant to the author of this psalm. The primary and most important thing to know about God, according to this psalm, is this. God not only made the world, but God continues to be involved in it and therefore to care about it. It follows that much of the rest of the psalm is a meditation on A, what kind of sovereign or ruler God is, and B, what that means for our own place in creation. This question is articulated beautifully in those verses in which the psalmist speaks from personal experience. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses, what are we that you should be mindful of us, mere mortals, that you should seek us out? Now, these verses, with their humility, might seem to be in tension with the reading from Genesis, with its apparent claim that people rule over and subdue creation. That claim is echoed in the next few verses of the psalm, but not before we hear this clear and profound confession of humility, wonder, and awe. The context makes all the difference in how we read what comes next. Yes, we humans are made in the image and likeness of God. Yes, we are a little lower than the angels. Yes, we bear God's glory and honor. But all of that, all of it is only ours because God gave it to us. And any sense we might have of ourselves as separate or special or somehow above creation can be obliterated when we simply go outside and glance up at the night sky and realize how tiny and fleeting our lives are. And yet how simply glorious it is to be even the smallest part of God's creation. So to turn directly to those possibly troubling lines about mastery and having creation at our feet, let me say clearly that any mastery we can claim is not tyranny or domination. It is the mastery of a craftsperson or a farmer or shepherd, someone who has learned to tend to what they have been given with aptitude and attention, with skills learned through a lifetime of careful apprenticeship. That's our job. When we ask, along with the psalmist, what we are that God should be mindful of us, the answer is that we are stewards, caretakers of all God has created. We are fragile, limited, finite creatures, just like all creatures. And yet God has entrusted us with the work of God's hands. If that doesn't fill us with fear and trembling, then we clearly don't understand the assignment. And if all of this still feels a little too abstract, let's think about the topic of Pope Leo's first encyclical called Magnifica Humanitas, or Magnificent Humanity. He writes cogently and passionately about what sets humans apart from artificial intelligence. And it is not our brain power, or anything that we can produce, consume, or achieve. He writes, so-called artificial intelligences do not undergo experiences, do not possess a body, do not feel joy or pain, do not mature through relationships, and do not know from within what love, work, friendship, or responsibility mean. Our bodies, our physical selves, are how we experience the love of God and everything that flows from it. Even our weaknesses and limitations are central to what makes us human and beloved. Reporting on the encyclical, the New York Times writes, "We are increasingly inferior to the technology we have created if we measure only in cold terms of performance." But the Pope writes with great affection for humans. The text ends with a wish that we may bear witness to the grandeur of humanity in which God has made his dwelling. That's it exactly. God has made God's dwelling in us and in all creation. If God is an ecosystem, we are an integral part of that ecosystem upon which we utterly depend. We cannot exist without the energy of love that is also flowing between and overflowing from the different persons of the Trinity. And it's not just us. All creation is integral to this ecosystem. From a Trinitarian perspective, creation can never be just a backdrop or environment within which we do the important work of being human. God has structured reality around the same interdependence that characterizes the Trinity. Everything that is created in heaven and on earth shares in the complex of interrelationships and love that we call God. And it is all good and very good indeed. And because God is love and we are made in God's image, we too are love. The rest is commentary. Amen. The candidate for holy baptism will now be presented. Just read that part together.
We present Julianne Christine Bryan to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Do you desire to be baptized? Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love? Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord?
I do.
Now this is for everyone gathered here. Do you promise to follow? That's not the right one. Let's try that again. Will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support Julianne in her life in Christ?
We will.
Please rise for the baptismal covenant. Let us join with our sister Julianne, who is committing herself to Christ, and renew our own baptismal covenant. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of our Lord. By the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread and in the prayers?
I will, with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, with God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, with God's help.
Let us now pray for Julianne, who is to receive the sacrament of new birth.
Deliver her, O Lord, from the way of sin and death.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Open her heart to your grace and truth.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Fill her with your holy and life-giving spirit.
Lord, hear
Grant, O Lord, that all who are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, your Son, may live in the power of his resurrection and look for him to come again in glory, who lives and reigns now and forever.
Amen.
You guys can come in a little bit closer so everyone can see and hear. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water. Over it, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it, you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In it, your son Jesus received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it, we are buried with Christ in his death. By it, we share in his resurrection. Through it, we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we bring into his fellowship those who come to him in faith, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now sanctify this water, we pray you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that those who here are cleansed from sin and born again may continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by water and the Holy Spirit you have bestowed upon this your servant the forgiveness of sin and have raised her to the new life of grace. Sustain her, O Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Give her an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works.
Amen.
Let us welcome the newly baptized in these words. We receive you into the household of God, confess the faith of Christ crucified, proclaim his resurrection, and share with us in his eternal priesthood.
Good morning. My name is Maria Kunefelman, and I'm senior warden here, senior warden of the vestry, and welcome to all. And it's always just so wonderful to observe a baptism. So I have a couple of quick announcements to share with you. They are on the yellow sheet, so please do take that home so that you can put some of those dates on your calendar. The first thing I want to note is that I was just honored to be over at Godly Play and listen to our Godly Play teacher share the story of the story up to Pentecost, and it's just so wonderful, and to meet the children too. So I do want to let you know that Godly Play will meet for the last time on June 7th. And while Youth Liturgy of the Word will meet for the last time on June 14th. So as we start planning for the summer, please join us today for coffee hour after this service. We are celebrating our graduates today from kindergarten up to a PhD. And so there's this lovely table set out for all of you to enjoy. We are seeking volunteers to help to work at the St. Martin's booth at David's Pride on June 6th. That has become a tradition with St. Martin's, and we'd love to have you either volunteer or just attend and support our community members. Another thing that we are actually doing for this summer is holding more of the table potlucks that we have at people's homes or here at the church. So if you'd be willing to host for a few members of our community at a place at the table, that would be really wonderful. Please chat with our office staff or with Pamela. And as a Vestry member, my last announcement really has to do with asking one of you to serve as a member at large on what we call the funding selection team. And that is a group of six individuals, two from the Vestry, two from SJO, Social Justice and Outreach, and two from the community at large. And these are the six individuals that will search, present, and vote on which organizations will receive the special offerings that we have at Christmas and at Easter. It's a really wonderful opportunity to learn about all the various organizations in our community, and for you to let us know who should receive the funds. So again, thank you for being here, and we'll see you at the reception after the service. Thank you. Which one? Please.
If you are new here, and I know there are some people who are new or visiting, and we have no strings attached to this, but we have welcome bags. So you just have to raise your hand. We won't embarrass you. We won't ask you to introduce yourself, but please raise your hand if you're new or newish and would like a welcome bag. It has chocolate and other good things inside. Speaking of goodies, let's see, Randy, I might need your help with this. There's another new person up here. Alicia's on her way. Just keep your hands raised. Today is the day that we're thanking a bunch of people. So because it's the last Sunday for choir and we're getting to the end of the program year for Godly Play and our Liturgy of the Word, we have thank yous to them, and we have a whole bunch of people who are graduating, as I think Maria mentioned. So if you are one of the people who is graduating, could you please come forward? Okay, the graduates get a little treat. It says See's Candy on the outside. So they each get one of those. Randy, you can hand those out. And then what about any Godly Play or Liturgy of the Word leaders? Are any of you here today? I know you're around, but maybe very busy at the moment. Sherry and Diane, oh. And Bob, so you each get your choice of dark or milk chocolate. And then we have to thank the choir. Choir members, please stand up. Everybody gets one. And we'll try to get gifts to those who couldn't be here today. But again, to our graduates, congratulations. And so much thanks go to everyone who helps make the music possible here, especially at the 10 o'clock service, and also who does so much for our kids and our youth. So one more round of applause. All right, while we're up here, are there any other celebrations or milestones besides these celebrations? Usually there are a few people who raise their hand. Okay, over here. Yes, that is a great milestone. We've been so blessed by our section leaders who have just added so much to the experience, and also one of whom made this chasuble for me. Hello. We have these are multi-talented individuals. So other than the many celebrations and milestones that we've just mentioned, we also, of course, have a baptism today. I meant to say during my sermon, you know, do I want to say this? I do want to say this. AI can't be baptized and can't be offered communion. And as we start to really face what people are trying to understand about what the line is between human and non-human, let's remember that. Let's keep an eye on where God is involved in all of this. So, but we will say together, oh, I do have one other family celebration. My stepmother just had her birthday, her 85th birthday. So we will turn to page 7 and say together, watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We have communion around the altar rail today. Everyone is welcome to come forward to receive communion. You can stand or kneel as you are comfortable. We're also happy if you need communion brought to you, just let one of the ushers know. Our communion bread is homemade, it's gluten-free and vegan, and you take it, it'll be offered to you in your outstretched hand. You can leave it there, and so that when the Eucharistic minister comes by with the chalice, they will dip it into the wine and hand it back to you if that's how you like to consume. Or if you consume it right away, then when the cup comes by, you have the option of either drinking from the cup or just crossing your arms at that point. So again, all are welcome. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
The praise of God. The Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
We praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time, you made ready the creation. Your spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being, sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again, you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. And honor and praise to you, holy and living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death and to reveal the riches of your grace. You looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself, yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and to be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer to you our gifts of bread and wine, and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your spirit upon these gifts that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your spirit over the whole earth and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with blessed Martin and all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation, to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever.
Amen.
And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día, perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Please rise for the post-communion prayer. Let us pray. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and cup of salvation. You have united us with Christ and one another, and you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Peace, to love and serve the Lord.